Good morning and happy Easter. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're visiting here today, we extend a special welcome to you and invite you, if it's your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask you to fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. And I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just do call your attention to that. There are a few meetings this week. I do want to point out that we will be having our service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center on Tuesday, and Feeding Ministry is Friday. Also, there will be classes starting next Sunday for anyone who is interested in baptism or church membership beginning at 10 o'clock, but please speak with me this week if you do want to attend those classes. Also, there's a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and I've been told that next Sunday is open, April 23rd is open. If anybody would like to sign up for that Sunday, we'd appreciate that. Also, there is an insert in your bulletin listing the memorial and honor flowers that are here decorating the altar this morning, but also given in loving memory or in honor of loved ones today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 257 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Where, O death, is your victory?
Where, O death, is your sting?
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We are here to celebrate that victory this morning, and our opening hymn is Christ the Lord is Risen Today, number 260 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Risen Christ, as you greeted the two Marys who were hurrying on the road to tell the good news to the disciples, so come and meet us here. May your Easter greeting jump off the page and into our hearts so that we may skip with joy and sing with delight that you are risen. We ask this in your most powerful name, and now pray as you taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. That is what we are here to celebrate. The joy, love, and peace that comes through Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And one celebration is that Mark and Dottie Foxen have returned from Florida. And good to see you both here and in relatively good health. Winter's been tough, I know, for both of you in Florida, but it's good to have the Foxens back with us. And we welcome the Huddies back last Sunday, and we're just waiting for David and Virginia Williams to return as well, and we'll have all of our snow people away that have been away to come back. But it's good to have you back with us. Others I know that are coming are here today that aren't here usually and regularly, so we welcome you as well, and we celebrate that you've come and made this part of our congregation today. And every time we worship, it's different with whoever is there to participate in the worship service. So I'm glad that all of you have selected to come here today to worship God and to celebrate Christ's resurrection. We also want to continue to remember May Upperman, who is at home, I believe, today. May was able to get out this week for a couple programs, but is at home today. And we want to continue to remember Paul Patry as well, who I believe is at home. At this time, I want to ask if you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns. Dottie. Wow, 44-year anniversary for Tom and Wendy Foxen. That's a wonderful celebration. And that's a long time. That's a very long time. But that's wonderful. Good time to celebrate. I'm glad you were home and able to celebrate with them. Anyone else? Betty. Okay, Phyllis Knight is not feeling well today, so she's not here today. Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request? Is that Cindy? Yes.
My brother's just diagnosed.
Okay, girlfriend with breast cancer, so we want to keep your friend in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Steve. Okay, so you've had a death in your family, your extended family. Funeral was this past Monday, but we want to keep you and your extended family in prayer at this time. It is a time of sorrow, but it's also a time of hope. You know, Easter brings us hope. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Is that Irene?
I just want to say we're grateful to have Stephen.
Yes, Stephen Tang is back. Stephen Tang is back with us today. Stephen had moved to Manchester, I believe, New Hampshire, and a little too far to commute on Sundays. A celebration, may I share it, Steve? That he and his wife are picking up their youngest son at the airport tonight from China. 4 years they've been trying to get him. And so he's being reunited. Their older son is still in China with his grandparents. But family reunion tonight. So we celebrate with Steve and his wife. Real celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request? Now then, let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for this day of resurrection, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the beauty of your creation and the new creation in Christ and all the gifts of healing and forgiveness. We thank you for the sustaining love of family and friends and the fellowship of faith in your church. Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all your children and bring your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord of life. We especially pray for those who mourn from the loss of a friend or family member. We pray for those who govern the nations of this world. We lift up the people of countries where there is strife and hunger and warfare. We give thanks that all who work for peace and true justice. We pray that the joy and promise of Easter will grow stronger in our lives each day. And all these prayers we offer to you in the name of the risen one, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The story of Easter is to go and tell others that the tomb is empty. It's a message that is so wonderful to share. And it's an opportunity this church has by reaching out into the community and around the world to share that wonderful message. We're able to do that by your support through your tithes and your gifts. At this time, the ushers receive. Let us pray. Lord, we offer these tithes and gifts to you as well as ourselves and ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ, of his resurrected body, of his life walking among us, teaching us with others, that they too may come to know him and love him. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Jeff Lanton will be reading the scripture today.
Let us open our Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and I will be reading from verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the women. "You must not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples he has been raised from death and now is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Do not be afraid, Jesus said to them. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. May the Lord add more blessings in the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard Matthew's account of this Easter morning, we can hear and sense the fear, the misunderstanding, the disbelief, the joy, all mixed together, those two women encountered that morning. Disbelief as well, oh God, that something that had never happened before took place in their very midst. Something so exciting, so dumbfounding that they weren't sure what to do and Jesus needed to give them instructions. We are here today to receive a word from you, O God. Instructions, as it might be, to live as Easter people. What we may be doing in the world as we leave from this worship service today. We pray, O God, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive your message for us this day, that we may be changed and renewed as we leave here. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In our travels, most of us have probably noticed the tragic scene of a roadway cross, bouquets of flowers, perhaps candles, a stuffed animal, or a jersey from a local high school. As we notice this, we know that there was a moment on this road when something horrific happened, and a person or persons lost their lives. Highway deaths and roadside memorials have become so common that some states are seeking alternatives. For traffic safety officers worry that these memorials are a dangerous distraction to drivers and put those who maintain the memorials in harm's way. Delaware is one of several states providing alternatives to roadside memorials. The Delaware Highway Memorial Garden has been created and is maintained at a highway rest area. Among the trees, shrubs, and flowering plants is a pathway lined with memorial bricks that bear the names of those who have lost their lives on the roads of Delaware. In the center of the garden is a pond with goldfish, frogs, water lilies, and a gurgling waterfall. And tucked amid the busyness of two nearby highways, it's a peaceful place to remember and reflect. For one mother whose son lost his life nearly 30 years ago on a rural road in that state, driving by the site of the accident is still too painful. She avoids it even after all these years. Instead, she visits the memorial garden regularly, where she sits quietly near the brick that bears his name and honors the memory of her son. Long ago, another mother lost a son. It's not likely, however, that she ever went back to the place where he died. There's not much chance that she wanted to sit by a cross like some mothers might do today. The cross on this hill was the instrument of her son's most cruel and painful death. She'd been there to witness it. Where would she go, though, to remember? Did she want to erect a memorial? Did she want some place that she could visit and just think about her son? Did she want to erect a pillar of stones in his memory in his hometown of Nazareth or in Bethlehem, where he was born? Did she want to post a sign at the site at some of his most famous miracles? Or did she want to turn the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus into a shrine or a museum in his honor? Her people, after all, had a strong tradition of building memorials. The patriarch Jacob set up memorials to make decisive events, to mark decisive events in his life, as did Joshua after crossing the Jordan. Surely, the thought crossed her mind, how can I remember my son? How can we all remember my son? Perhaps she had heard from the disciple John that on the night before her son died, even he, her son, had talked about being remembered. They'd been eating and hanging out together when suddenly Jesus took some bread and gave it all to his disciples, said a brief prayer of thanks, and then told them to take it and eat it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." But this is speculation. We don't know if Mary ever went to the tomb where they took her son after he died. Roman Catholic tradition says that Jesus appeared to his mother first, making it unnecessary for her to go to the tomb. But that aside, who could know the agony she endured from Friday to Sunday morning? Even the care she received from the beloved disciple, presumably whose name was John, could not alleviate the sadness and the despair that she must have felt. After the initial questions and confusion subsided, much of what she heard Jesus say must have come flooding back to her in her mind. She would never need to visit a cross or a tomb. She would need to erect a pile of stones. She would never need to maintain a museum. She'd never need to plant a garden. For her son, who was dead, in fact, was alive. Not just in the past tense, he is alive. While Mary, Jesus' mother, may not have felt like she needed to go to the tomb that first Easter morning, two other Marys did. The very same instinct that drives people to the site of a crash may have carried Mary Magdalene, a close follower of Jesus, and another woman named Mary, who was identified a few verses earlier as the mother of James and Joseph, to the tomb early in that morning. They came not with the handmade cross and flowers, but with oils and spices. They came not to set up a roadside memorial, but to care for the body of the one they followed, the one who loved and accepted them when no one else did. They came prepared to do the only thing they could think of, to honor the memory of Jesus. It's a normal reaction, this need to take care of, to tidy up, to do something. Many of us visit the graves of loved ones, placing flowers, saying a prayer, perhaps even talking to the individual, and we remember this person. Like the two Marys, it's all that we can think to do. And we want people to know that we remember and we care. But the Marys never get to do their task. Before they can get to Jesus' body, they're greeted by an angel who tells them no memorial is needed. Jesus, the one who was crucified, has been raised from the dead. He's no longer in the tomb. In their confusion, the Marys run to tell the disciples what they have seen and heard. And along the way, they are met by the resurrected Jesus. They want to hold on to him, to worship him. But Jesus instructs them to find the disciples and to tell them to meet him in Galilee. The one they thought was in his final resting place is instead on the move. He's still calling them to follow him. Our instinct to mark and remember upheaval, crisis and life-changing events is a good one for us. Just look at how the city of Boston commemorates the tragic events that took place at the marathon 4 years ago. It's cathartic. It's good to remember. It's good to move on, but it's also good to remember what took place that day. As I mentioned earlier, marking the places where significant life-altering events occur is an ancient practice. For example, after his dream of a staircase between heaven and earth, Jacob, in the Old Testament, marked that spot. He took the stone that he had used for a pillow that night and stood it on end, poured oil on it as an act of anointing, and named that place. He wanted to remember what had happened there. The two Marys went to the tomb of Jesus to mark the spot where their lives had changed. They wanted to remember and honor the one who had so significantly altered the trajectory of their lives. Families and friends erect and care for roadside memorials at crash sites to mark the spot where their lives changed in an instant. They seek to honor and remember those whom they have loved. On Easter Sunday, we too come to remember the moment when life changed forever. We come to remember that Jesus, the one who cares for us, who loves us and accepts us even when it seems no one else does, has been raised from the dead. The tomb could not hold him. He is alive. Death has been defeated. Life wins. Thus, no memorials are needed except for one, our lives. By following Jesus, by giving Jesus our very lives, we offer living memorials to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There are hints of this concept later in the New Testament, past the Gospels. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Rome who were following Jesus these words: "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern that which is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." For the ancient disciples following Jesus did not end at the cross. They followed Jesus even after the resurrection. In Galilee, their home, the place where where Jesus had first called them, where their journey with Jesus had begun, he would give them further instructions. This was their memorialization. They were to follow. They were to feed the flock. They were to baptize and make disciples. They had work to do, and all of it would help them to remember and to honor Jesus. Jesus likewise calls us to follow him in the places that we know, to follow him in work, at school, with our families, in conversations with our friends, and in ministry to our communities. The one who has shown us resurrected life calls us to share that new life with others. The news is too good to keep it to ourselves. We're to tell others about what he has done for us and to offer them the love, grace, and healing that we have received from Christ. To honor Jesus, to remember where our lives were changed forever, no memorial is needed. We celebrate Jesus instead with a changed and resurrected life. Jesus is alive and calling us to follow him even today. Death has been defeated. Life wins. No memorial is needed. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your resurrected life, that you came back to life to prove that you have power over death, that life wins and death does not. But Lord, in our human lives, we struggle with that. We still experience the pain of death. We still experience the separation from loved ones. But Lord, it is through your life, your death and resurrection, that we have the hope to go on from day to day, and the promise that one day you will call us to our eternal home, that we'll be reunited with our loved ones, and we will meet you face to face. Until that day, O God, help us to live as faithful followers of the resurrected Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is He Lives, number 262. Because the tomb is empty, your life can be full. So go into every place, and every day as people filled and overflowing with the love of God, Be graceful in spirit, hopeful in word, faithful in deed. Live for the risen Christ as Christ lives in you. Alleluia. Amen.